Today's scriptures, Psalms 119, 49 through 56. I will now recite. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort and my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth with the word. Today, everything we see, hear, and enjoy are things God created with the word. There is not a thing which is unrelated to what God created. All the civilizations that men built were the outcome derived from God's creation as their basis. There is not one thing which is originally created by men. Lately, people use the word creator in Korean a lot. Originally, the English word creator would refer to the creator God. But now this word is often used differently from this original meaning. People generally use the word creator to refer to the content creators or internet broadcasters of audio and visual materials using media such as YouTube or podcast. Even though the language by nature changes over time throughout history, I feel that this word creator is being used inappropriately. The creator who works on online video sharing platforms, they do not create something out of nothing, but rather use something for production and creative activities. However, our creator God created the universe out of nothing but the word alone. How great is the Word of God? Since God created the universe with the Word is the Almighty, and the Word is God. John chapter 1, verse 1 shows this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word in the book of John points to Jesus, who is God and one of the three divine persons in Trinity. As God is our creator, the word is our creator, and without God, we cannot exist. As without the word, we cannot continue our lives. We who live in the fallen world in this 21st century were born and living without the knowledge of who we are. Who are we? We are the descendants of Adam created by God. God created the heaven and earth with the word to bless his people. So why must people on this blessed land suffer in this life? People since Adam lived by their will in disobedience without really experiencing that God is the creator. Noah and his sons taught the descendants to not forget God the Creator after the flood as judgment, yet people over time simply enjoyed the wonderful and great world God created and neglected to remember that God created with the world with His Word. After a long time passed, the human race comprises of people who do not know or do not acknowledge that God is the creator of the world. According to the research published by the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, the percentage of the Christian population in the world in 2020 is 33.3%. That is about 2.6 billion out of the total population of about 7.8 billion. This figure includes both the Roman Catholics and the Protestants. Even if we were to assume that all 2.6 billion people were Christians, there are 5 billion people in the world who do not know God, the Creator, and Jesus, the Savior. How did we get to this point? This is because the descendants of Adam did not fully remember the word of God, the Creator. If the human race had fully remembered the word of God, the Creator, this world would have been a better place by now. Today's passage shows us how to live in the fallen world by remembering the word of God. This is the first verse. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. The poet of the Psalms describes himself as your servant. As a servant completely submits to the words of the Lord, the poet was a person who did not neglect but remembered the word of God. If the poet remembered the word of God, would God not remember the word he gave to the poet? No, then why would the poet pray like this? It was meant as a plea and an appeal to God to please save him from death according to how God spoke. A patient with a deadly illness went to a doctor. This patient was diagnosed and treated by the doctor and survived. If the patient contracts the same illness again, this patient would go to the doctor again in order to be saved and live. The second verse shows that the poet also has the experience of being revived from a life and death situation. Based on the experience of surviving by the word, the poet was praying to God to please save him again. When God's chosen people cry out in suffering, God does not turn away from them. God said to Moses, "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." God did not forget, but he remembered his covenant. God made a covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the past. Leviticus 26:24 says, "I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land." Then, what is the word God gave to the poet? God did not personally say something to God, to the poet, but spoke through the words of God as recorded in God's laws and rules. In verse 52, the poet says that he remembered the ancient laws. The poet remembered what God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and prayed to God to remember these words. What covenants have we received from God? What are the words that are given to us from God? We also received the same words as Abraham and the poet. We can become the descendants of Abraham even though we're not Jewish by bloodline. John the Baptist said this, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." Jesus also taught that becoming the descendants of Abraham does not have to do with the bloodline. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, who bore fruit in repentance, in Luke 19:9 says this, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Apostle Paul also said in the book of Romans that anyone regardless of the bloodline can become the descendants of Abraham in faith. Therefore, the words of the covenant God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob become the words God give to us today. We also can pray by these words of the covenants, like the poet who prayed to God to remember your words. The words of God of the covenants were provided to the poet. It may be surprising that true hope starts from hopelessness. Hopelessness is a state of having nothing to look forward to without any hope. People feel hopeless when they are confronting extreme situations and recognizing their limitations and vanity. Romans 8:24 says this, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have?" Apostle Paul said, "Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Hope is desiring something that is unseen." If we think that there is any hint of hope, that means we're not in the state of hopelessness, the state of complete darkness without even a hint of light, where we cannot get any help, would be the point at which we are to look to Jesus. If we could remember God's words of promise, to pray to God, like the poet, to remember your words to your servant, we would already be on the passageway towards hope. David said this in Psalm 39, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." In this scripture, David said he found hope in God from hopelessness through the words of God. Recently, I heard from someone I know that there was a death of his child, and this child was a bright young man with a promising future. This parent had lost another child several years ago and now lost another one of the two children. This person also had the partner pass away a long time ago. And this parent had hoped to live a happy life with the two children, but is now alone without any children or the partner. How difficult must this be? There are some people who are alone by death in the family, but there are also some people who are alone by some other reasons. No matter how many people are around you, there must be some people who feel alone and struggle with loneliness. People may feel hopelessness for different reasons. Even if we are in hopelessness, as long as you remember the words of God and His promises, we would have hope, like the poet in today's scripture. The poet tells us the reason he has hope in the next verse, which says, "My comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life." Here, this which is the poet's comfort in his suffering is your promise, and points to the words of God in the preceding verse. God's words are comfort in suffering. What are the words which are the comfort in your suffering? Haven't we been comforted and being comforted by different words of God? If you cannot remember any words which are your comfort, you can meditate on the words deeply and find the words which will be of comfort to you in your suffering. God gave us many words of promises and covenants. Here are the words given to us through Jacob and Israel. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Next, here are the words of covenant given to us from Jesus through his disciples. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God, who is three in one, gave the words of covenants to us who became his children in faith. When we remember the words of the covenants, they become the comfort in our suffering. The suffering of the poet in the Psalms was not the suffering he experienced while not working and being idle, but while keeping and living by the words of God. The poet was mocked from the proud. The proud are the people who stray from God's commands, as mentioned in verse 21. They're the people who have forsaken God's laws, as in verse 53. The poet, as in verse 51, did not turn away from the laws even when he was mocked. And as in verse 53, the poet was not shaken even when gripped by indignation. Verse 55 shows that the poet kept the laws. When living by the words of God like this, the suffering follows always. And if we are in suffering, it means that we are walking with God. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Persecution and suffering may bring us close to God, but they may also bring a temptation for us to resent God and to live apart from God. That is why we should remember the words of Apostle Paul to Timothy. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. The world keeps deceiving us. If we have been deceived, we should not try to work it out in ways of men. We should not turn away from the law, but we should wait on God. if we deceive someone in the same way we were deceived, the person we deceive would deceive someone else. If we keep deceiving like this, it will become normalized in our society. Today in our society, don't we live in a way which sees injustice but does not know that it is injustice? And deceiving others but pretending as if we're not? Shouldn't Christians break the cycle? Shouldn't we be someone who may be deceived and suffering loss yet does not deceive another person? The poet in the Psalms was mocked by the wicked who had forsaken the law, and he was gripped by fierce indignation. But what did he do? He did not stray from the law. This is very difficult for any men who have emotions. When we experience anger, no matter what the cause may be, we should manage it well. Last week, there was a news report of a woman who jumped into a river while fighting with her husband. The husband died while trying to save his wife, and the wife in the river was caught by some water plant and saved by the rescuers. How sad is this news? If we cannot manage the anger, even though we have this anger, we may suffer irreversible losses. The poet was severely mocked and gripped by fierce indignation, yet he did not explode on the person who made him angry or harm anyone. It is interesting to note that the poet did not suppress the angry feelings inside him. Verses 52 and 54 teach us how the poet could recover from his angry and hurt feelings. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. The poet remembered the words of the Lord as he said he found comfort in these words while in suffering in this verse 50. The poet found comfort in the laws. Next is verse 54, which says, your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. This word lodge describes the loneliness the poet experienced because of injustice and because of the wicked. The poet remembered the name of God and the words of God in the night of hopelessness without any light. A dark night would be an environment where it is easy to sin in the heat of indignation. However, the poet did not sin but kept the laws. The poet did not simply sing the song, but in verse 55 says, in the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. The poet in this dark night remembered God and the words of God. And the dark night would be an environment where it would be easy for the poet to sin in the heat of indignation. However, the poet did not sin but kept the laws. The poet kept the laws as an extension of verse 51, in which he said, the arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn away from your law. In the darkest hours of the night, we should not live like the people who live in the night, but we should strive to live by the words of the Lord. If we could spend the night of suffering by the words of God. The hours will not be the time of darkness, but like a bright day of light. The Buddha said that keeping the words of God was everything he had. Here's the last verse. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. There are some high officials who disclose their assets according to the legal basis. And people these days seem very interested in whether the public officials own multiple residential properties. People are valuing the public officials' wealth by the value of the real estate. The world is interested in the tangibles and not in the intangibles. Let's imagine what it would be like if our assets were disclosed to the public. What would you put on your list of assets? If there were tangibles, we could put down real estate or securities or bonds that are transferable. If we were to write down intangibles, what would you put down? The original words of the last verse, which can also be read as, "This has become mine that I observe your precepts." These words do not contain the word mine in the original version, and this would the word mine would be a liberal translation. A more exact translation of the original words would be, "This is what is most important to me." So one of the current translations says, "This is all I had." The Buddha said that obeying the words of God was most important to him. What is most important to us? Shouldn't we, the 100th anniversary memorial church, be the church which obeys the words of God, who is the everlasting standard and the everlasting normal, to live according to our calling, to prepare the way for the Korean church to shine light and to save lives? Let us remember the words of God even in the midst of suffering. Even if we are in the midst of pain, we suffer from COVID-19 or personal crisis we face, if we were to remember the words of God, we would have hope. Even if our past joy has disappeared and all that remains is pain, if we remember the words of God, we would find comfort and we can sing songs of joy. Even if we are in a lonely place in a dark night, and even if we are gripped by indignation from injustice, if we remember the words of God, we can obey the law and not turn away from the law. When we hold our obedience to the words of God as our highest value, we can be helped ourselves to help our family, our church, our community, and our nation. Let us pray. Father God, you created the universe with the word. You blessed the people with your word, and you forgive sinners with your words. You promise salvation with your words, and for all of these, we thank you. If we did not have your words, we would still be in sin, and we cannot escape death. We cannot overcome anger when we are mocked by the people who have forsaken your law, or when we witness acts of the wicked. Because of your words, we have hope even in hopelessness. We thank you for helping us remember your words, that you help us find comfort in suffering. We thank you that you help us remember your words to sing songs where we lodge. Please help us remember your words even in the world where injustice is rampant. And please help us not be gripped by indignation because of the people who have forsaken the law, but please help us, the church, be the church that holds the submission to the words as our value. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.